Good morning. The first words of our opening hymn were, "Who breaks the power of sin and darkness?" And I want you to hold on to that, because that's really the question that we'll be looking at today, the kind of theme behind what I'll be just sharing with you. It is lovely to be here. On the notice sheet it says, I'm Rob W. Sometimes famous people have their initials beforehand, you know, WG something or whatever happens to be CT Lewis, but I'm Rob W. Rob Watson is the name. And I thought I'd just perhaps just share something about myself that perhaps you don't know. I'm actually a partly trained midwife. The emphasis on the partly. Now, you may have sort of just gathered that anyway, just by looking at me, but I've been present at four births, so I'm not that experienced, really. I've got three daughters, and, of course, I was present at my own birth, although... For some reason, however, I decided to be breech. My mum wasn't too happy about that. So it was a difficult birth. And I think my dad said once, "You were difficult in birth and you've been difficult ever since." So I've tried to live up to that. But births are wonderful occasions, aren't they? They're wonderful. They are the wonderful, serene, peaceful, quiet times where words are exchanged in whispers and a quiet hush. They're just wonderful. Now, I know there are other times when the mother is bouncing around on a gym ball or rolling in agony with contractions on a bed, or maybe on the floor of the car just outside Arrow Park Hospital. They haven't quite made it there. But of course, mine's a dad's view. We all love a birth, and particularly a good birth. Well, in 2021, as we are now, it's the same number of years since the birth of all births. The first advent, the coming of Jesus into the world. And this is how it was described, and this is how we'll be looking at that. And these words that the words that Isaiah actually spoke and prophesied were spoken 740 years before the birth happened. That's quite a lot of notice, isn't it? We normally just get about 9 months' notice, or when the twinkle in the eye sort of appears, we know that maybe there's a baby on the way. But 740 years, and he describes it accurately and beautifully for us. And so he says, "For unto us a child is born." When God says something's going to happen, it's as it actually has happened. "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given." And he goes on to say, "A light has dawned." A light has broken through. And so Isaiah is ushering, as we had in our reading before, he's ushering in this first advent. He's foretelling the first advent of Jesus. Now, the word advent simply just means coming. The first coming of Jesus. And there are two advents related to Jesus in the Bible. There's this first one, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And then there's the second advent. That's the return of Jesus. And that hasn't happened yet. And we don't know when that's going to be. We're given hints and clues as to what the world will be like and various events that will take place, but we don't know when. But that is yet to happen. That's on the calendar. Well, just to put it back to you just for a moment about Advent, you think, oh yes, it's Advent. I thought I'd just ask you a couple of questions. And as the Bible speaks about two Advents, I just wonder whether the birth of Jesus, the first Advent, has that made any difference to your life? Has that made any difference to your life? I can remember when our first little ball of flesh arrived, and suddenly, you know, we were sort of two sociable people and doing all sorts of things when we wanted, all the rest, and suddenly this child arrives, and it dictates, dominates, and our whole life is overwhelmed by this child. It made a difference to our lives. But when we think of Jesus, the first Advent, we can sing about it, but what difference? Well, has there been any difference that the birth of Jesus has made to your life? And then the second Advent, do you believe that? A lot of people didn't believe that Jesus would come into the world like he did. But do you believe, and perhaps more importantly, do you eagerly await that second Advent, that coming of Jesus, and live your life in the expectancy of his soon return? I can remember reading a book years ago, I think it was Matthew Henry, and he said that we should live our lives in the expectancy that Jesus would return today. He'd return today. I've read that, I've shared it with you. We need to live like that, don't we? That we don't have a huge pending drawer or file of what we would like to do. So a couple of questions for you to answer on that. Well, after the birth of Jesus, later on in the Gospels, the same thing is taken up by Matthew and Luke. I'm sure this little thing is still working here. Can you just flick that on the next one? Yeah, in Matthew and Luke, and the Gospel writers, they share this same verse, the same declaration, and they describe the event in the same way that Isaiah had actually prophesied. And he says that the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Remember when we started the service, who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Well, the light, this light of Christ coming into the world, breaks that power of sin and of darkness. Some translations say, and I found this quite helpful when I was looking at it, it's people not living in darkness, but sitting in darkness. And it gives a picture of the world, just of people just sitting in darkness. They're not going anywhere. They're not doing anything. They can't see. And that's the picture that Isaiah gives. And that's the time when Jesus comes into the world. And so the people living in darkness have seen a great light. Now, from the passages that we've already had read this morning, there's this great theme of this great light runs throughout them. And I want to perhaps pick up some of these in this particular way about revealing the light of God, and then about walking in the light of God, and then sharing the light. But first of all, on this particular one here about revealing the light, Isaiah, Matthew, and Luke, they all describe Jesus coming into the world as a great light, not just a little flicker or something that's just there, a little small light, but it's a great light comes into the world. Isaiah, of course, he was anticipating the light, anticipating Jesus, whereas Matthew and Luke, they knew that had already happened. They were affirming that Jesus had come into the world. And Jesus himself would later say that, "I am the light of the world." And so In terms of the revealing of the light and in the context of Advent, he's going to actually reveal these three things. The condition of the world, about the darkness, the actual confirmation of Jesus. Well, who is he? Who is Jesus? What's he all about? But then also the constitution of Christ's kingdom. What would that look like? A kind of manifesto. What would life be like under the rule of Christ, or godly or theocratic sort of rule? And so that's the sort of the aspect of the revealing of the light. And the passages that we've read, that I've just sort of coupled them together for us on this, the condition of the people living in darkness, that simply means with the Bible, it doesn't mean that the lights were out all the time. And, you know, sometimes you get these blackouts in some countries, they've got no power, the light goes out. It refers ultimately to life, to sin, to evil, to blindness, to confusion, to lawlessness, where there's been the abandonment of God's law. It was just bleak. It was dark. And that was the state of the world. We might think that's a little bit as we are today, with the abandonment of God's law. They'd kicked out the Lord, his laws and his statutes and everything. I'm going through the Bible. At the moment, I bought a new study Bible just a few weeks ago, and I'm also listening to the audio version, and it's good just going around listening to the Word of God as just one continuous story. And I saw somebody just recently in Mel's, and from another church, and I had my headphones on, and he said something to me just across the road. He goes, "Oh, are you all right, Rob?" And I said, "No, not really." "So what's up?" I said, "I'm in the middle of the plagues at the moment, and there's frogs everywhere, and there's the Nile has turned to blood. It's not a good day for me, but you have a good day anyway." But it is interesting to just to hear that. But it was interesting as Israel was being guided by God. It says that he guided them with a cloud in the day to protect from the heat, and a light fire at night. They were guided by God all the time, in the morning and in the evening, the light and the darkness. And so it's into the darkness that Jesus will break. He will come in, he'll break into the darkness. And that's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does when he saves us. He breaks into our darkness, and he brings his beautiful, radiant, pure, holy light. He transforms light, transforms our life of darkness. As I was studying this week for this, I came looking at various hymns and songs, and I came across this particular one, which I thought was quite appropriate for this particular point. You won't find it in Hillsongs. I don't know if our band certainly won't necessarily have got onto their playlist just at the moment. It was written in 1887, so it hasn't quite caught on yet. But the words are pretty good, I think. And it says this: if somebody's sharing their experience of Christ in their lives, along a dark and gloomy path, I groped beneath the shades of death. No hope beyond my dying breath, till light from the Saviour came. My darkness now is passed away. In Jesus all is perfect day. And peace and comfort ever stay, since Christ is my perfect light. Maybe we'll get that to catch on. Maybe this time next year, it'll be a massive hit. Streaming on iTunes and all the rest of it, right up there. Let's get it up there. But in bringing up to modern times, often we've sung this before, and I was thinking about it straight away when I was preparing for this, was when light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. Open my eyes. let me see. And that's the testimony, isn't it, of the Christian. That's what's happened. Once I was blind, but now I can see. And so that was the condition. The world is dark, and Jesus is breaking into that darkness. But then secondly, the confirmation of who Jesus is. And we have a description there of it says that a child is born. That's the humanity of Christ. And then a son is given. Well, whose son is it? God the Father. Jesus is God, the Son of God, and that's his divinity. And those two things together. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And it's interesting that the word wonderful there, as we translated, it's a noun that really perhaps should be just translated wonder. Wonder. And when you just meet Jesus, you're full of wonder at such a person. And you see the star of wonder, don't we? We sing about that. And Mary, she wondered when she was told about all these things and treasured them in her heart. And so just a lovely aspect of Jesus. He is wonderful, but just he brings that sense of wonder. Wonder. I've never seen anything quite like this before. And he's a counselor. Really gives it the thought of wisdom, wise leadership and authority, and how we need that in our country and how we need that in our world. Mighty God, Everlasting Father. We sang just before that who can compare? There is no equal, we sang. There is no equal to him. He is Mighty God. And then just the next thing on the constitution of Christ's kingdom is that it says about his kingdom on that particular reading there, his kingdom. And what we need to know about his kingdom, it tells us here, it will be ruled by justice and righteousness and forever. It won't be just for a season, but righteous and justice forever. And really, just to say about God's kingdom, which we say in our prayer, don't we? Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth. And we pray for the kingdom of God. And as you read through the Bible, you'll see that the kingdom of God is different. It's different to what we live in. It's different to what we see. It's not different that it's peculiar and odd and something that's distasteful. It's just different. It's distinctive. It's got distinctive qualities. We've read there about justice and righteousness. It's distinctive, but it's divine. It comes from God. And that's why I like that verse that I put there in John 18, where Jesus says repeatedly there, my kingdom is not of this world. It's different. It's distinctive. It's different. But my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, he said, my followers would be fighting. They'd be activists. They'd be doing this, that, and the other, and protesting. It's different. A different kingdom. And to ask you the question, ask myself the question, as we live in this world, as we pray for God's kingdom, we know what God's kingdom is about, which kingdom do we prefer? Which kingdom are we most at home with? What we've got here, and we kind of like them, we tolerate this and all the rest of it, or do we really long for God's kingdom and pray that his kingdom would come? And so those are the distinctives of people living in the light of God. And so just moving on to that, I press this little thing here, and it's just about 6 seconds later it finally comes on, I think. But just into moving on about living in the light, and this is our walk. Or life in the light lane, living in this lane, God's path. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says, you were once in darkness, speaking to Christians, you were once in darkness, but now you are the light of the world. walk as children of light. So I wonder what you think about that, walking in the light of God. Darkness describes a life, a world that's in opposition to God, but light reveals the character and everything about God. Purity. The Bible says that light can't have fellowship with darkness. It is to be distinct. They are two different worlds. And looking at the passage that we had in Romans 13, there's a little thing there. I'm not directly copying Boris's traffic light system, but if you're familiar with that, you know that the greens are the things that we can go on if you're traveling somewhere, and the reds are the things that you shouldn't be traveling on. And in this here, which is giving us an indication of what life is like, it should be like living in the light of God, not living in darkness. It says that in the greens, the beginning, and do this. So the first thing we should do is to actually understand the present time. Don't be naive. See things as they are. See things through God's eyes. See things through the Bible's eyes. The world has a different agenda, completely different agenda to us. It's not always in harmony. It may seem good, but it's not always in harmony. But understand what's happening. What's happening? What's happening in our schools and families, the family unit and the place of God, the Word of God, Christianity. Understand these things. And then it says, wake up. Wake up. It's always good to put this towards the end of the sermon, isn't it? You know, wake up from your slumber. We're sleeping. We didn't see things coming. We're caught by surprise. Why didn't you do it? Why were you just sitting there? In fact, why were you just lying there and letting these things come in and happen? And then he also says on the green list, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness. Let's get rid of them. That's what we are to do. Deeds of darkness. They're not to be present in our lives. And so maybe there's things in our lives that you know this morning, they're not right. We're looking at things and taking them into our hearts through the gates of our eyes. And they're corrupting us. They're not right. And so God says to us this morning, put those things aside. Get rid. There's things that we're reading. Maybe there's a relationship, a union, a connection that you're involved in. And it's not right. It needs to be broken. It's not of this kingdom, light and with darkness. Put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as if we were walking in daytime. Be decent people, not just good people, decent people that you would do things in the light. Lots of bad stuff happens in the dark, doesn't it? Not everything, but people go to the dark and they do things because they feel they can't be seen. Live your life in as if it was daylight. I remember reading a book years ago, I think it was Bill Hybels, who are you when no one's looking? Who are you when nobody else is looking? That's probably the real you. And a lovely little expression in verse 14, it says, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that really is a picture there just of adopting, putting his clothes on, adopting his whole lifestyle, living as he lived. And I wonder if that's true of us. You know, when you wake up in the morning, what clothes are you going to put on? I used to work in a bank, and I used to spend about 25 minutes, because very particular what tie I would wear. So coming to this church is quite cool. So it kind of saves 25 minutes from a day. I don't have to go through that ritual of choosing. I just have a massive selection of ties. Those things don't really matter. But what we read here in Romans is we've got to clothe ourselves with the lifestyle of Jesus, to live as he lived, think as he lived, behave as he behaved. And so that's the challenge there, the things we're to do, the things we're not to do, not in carousing and drunkenness, sexual immorality and debauchery and dissension and jealousy. I don't think it's particularly going through various ages in life, but carousing means filling yourself with alcohol and behaving in a loud, noisy manner. It says that's not really good life for the Christian. Things happen then in those circumstances, mistakes, accidents, things we do in that condition when we've lost control, when we're not ourselves, it shouldn't really happen. Being discredited not just to you, but to the name of God. Immorality and all these things. But just it finishes there on verse 14. Basically, don't even think about it. Do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. So I wonder which clothes you're wearing. Are you clothing yourselves in those of the Lord Jesus Christ? A little verse in Colossians 1 verse 21 says, once you were alienated from God, you were once. But now, different. You have been reconciled by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, free of accusation. You once were in darkness, but you are now different. You are something else. You're walking in the light of God. And so just the final point, just to really, this is your homework, really, as you leave today, is spreading the light together. Spreading the light together. I did say to Sarah, I said, there's a little hidden reference to a Dr. Hook song in the sermon today. So she may have already picked that up. And it says at the end, oh yeah, oh yeah. So the words are slightly different to the song. But this is our challenge as we go. Is not just to talk about the light, to appreciate the light, and to agree with it, but it's actually to share it and to spread it. And Jesus tells us that we are the light, to shine his light. We're to be the mirror, the reflection of his light. And we are to live in the light. And so all I'd say is two little things that come from two very short children's choruses, really, I sang years ago, in terms of our witness, that we are to let this little light shine. Let this little light shine. It's not to be kept under a bushel, under a table, under a chair, hidden away, but we're to let it shine. Let it shine out there. And then the last one is in terms of our relationship with each other, as a church, as Christians, as a family. We desperately need unity. There's the witness, but we need unity together. And that comes from this, that's walking together in communion suite as we walk in the light. The light brings unity, darkness brings division. So that's your homework. I won't be marking it, but you'll be self-assessed next week. Have you done those things to let your little light shine and to walk together in communion, sweet, in his light. Thank you.